With vaccinations becoming a reality, many people are experiencing some relief. But COVID-19 has claimed more than 6,500 lives in the state. Projections show that hundreds more may die of the illness in the months ahead. Reporters at the Milwaukee Journal-Sentinel have been taking a look at the data, including reported cases and reported deaths, to try to understand who felt the biggest impact. And beyond the data, they looked at the grief and heartbreak that's become a part of many people's lives over the last year. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Is there someone you'd like to remember on air that you've lost in the last year? Tell us a little bit about them. Or do you have questions about the data, the progress of the disease here in the state, the demographics of who was hit hardest? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. John Diedrich is an investigative reporter at the Milwaukee Journal-Sentinel. He was one of the reporters on this piece. John, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
This was a big look back, John, at the last year. Can you tell us what you and your colleagues set out to try to figure out?
Well, when we looked at the data, when this first surfaced as a major story a year ago, we were looking for trends that were developing, and we just didn't have we tried to do this sort of instant analysis that we often do in the media, but until you have data, you really can't do that. So we were looking at a month, 2 months, and so forth. But as we stretched out to a year, we could see enough cases, enough deaths that happened to be more statistically significant. A couple trends that surfaced early was that we were seeing more deaths among older people who had underlying health conditions. More men were dying than women. There was a very sharp racial disparity early on. And then there was also this question of, was COVID-19 actually pulling deaths from other categories? And I'll explain what that means. Is it people who were already sick, say with heart disease or diabetes or cancer? And essentially, COVID would have been hastening their deaths, but they would have died anyway in that time. So those were the questions we set out to address.
And I want to start with that last question. It seems like we have a pretty solid answer on that when we look at the total number of deaths in the state and how they increased last year. What do we find out when we look at that?
Well, that's right. This is probably, in terms of a statistical finding, one of the most important pieces, because it does show very clearly in death data that we received from the state of Wisconsin that there was a large increase, statistically surprising by several fold from what had been happening in recent years, 16% increase. So in real numbers, that's about 8,400 people died in 2020 in Wisconsin, beyond what died the year before in 2019. That's a 16% increase. The reason that's significant is if you look at the increase in deaths in Wisconsin in recent years, it bounces around from like 1% to 2%. That's because of our aging population, baby boomers, and so forth. And what we could see is a clear increase above and beyond that 1% to 2% to 16%. And what's interesting is that COVID-19 was the third leading cause of death in Wisconsin behind heart disease and cancer last year. But there is also a series of deaths, 2,000 deaths, that really are not accounted for in the numbers. They're scattered around different categories. And in some cases, we don't know the cause of death because the paperwork hasn't been finished yet. And that could be a number of things. That could be undercounted COVID cases where tests were not available. It could be people not seeking care who were worried about going to the hospital, people with treatable chronic or emergency conditions. It could be related to the increase in suicide, homicide, and overdoses that we saw in 2020. So those are some of the it's going to take some time to really tease out what all those numbers mean. But clearly, there was an increase. And I should point out that that increase is been mirroring what we're seeing projected increases nationwide. But this data is very specific for Wisconsin and shows that there was a clear increase in death in 2020.
And speaking of specific data, something I didn't know until I read your piece, John, was that Milwaukee County had some of the closest watched and tabulated data really of any of the counties all over the country. Why is that?
Well, so the medical examiner here in Milwaukee, Brian Peterson, what medical examiners usually do is they look at things like homicides, accidental deaths, sort of surprise deaths, if you will, unattended deaths. And So they're not looking at cases like nursing home, where people would die in nursing homes, hospitals, that sort of thing. They also are allowed to look when there's a public health crisis. And that's what Dr. Peterson decided to do early on. And it's interesting what he did is he took on a lot more cases. We have about 1,100 people who've died in Milwaukee County. But it's interesting, by reviewing the cases, his view is that some of the cases that others may be counting as COVID related or COVID caused, I should say, in other words, the cause of death was COVID, that he feels in his view, like 200 to 300 cases above the 1,100 cases were people who probably would have died anyway from other causes. And that he set that as COVID as an underlying condition that contributed to the death, but was not the cause of death. And so this sounds maybe a little bit like splitting hairs, but it is important because on death certificates, there is only one cause of death. It's a very old system that we have, and it's just the way it works. And so, but what Dr. Peterson has done is not only review all these cases, but he has released the documents related to that case. And so we see a deeper look at so sort of like underlying health conditions that are coming up most often in the cases of people who've died, their ages, more specifics about their cases. So that is a unique picture. We checked with the top 40 sized medical examiners around the country, and there was only one that was doing this sort of thing in California.
Talking to John Diedrich from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, investigative reporter there. He and his colleagues looked back on a year of COVID-19 information here in Wisconsin to see what communities were hit hardest, what demographics hit hardest. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a question for John? Do you have a story to share maybe of someone in your own family you'd like to remember who passed away from COVID-19? You can join in at 800-642-1234. John, we're going to look more at the data, but you and your colleagues in this piece highlight the stories. You talk to survivors of someone who had lost someone to COVID-19. What kind of stories did you hear from people?
Well, they're really heartbreaking stories. And I think it's important to remember that, I did mention this thing about the cause of death. There is, even though the age of a lot of the people, including who we talked about here, they're older, but they were still living. If they had underlying health conditions, they were still living and probably going to live for years to come. So I think of the case of Diane Romano Brown. She's a retired hospice nurse, and she and her longtime partner were, just really spending a very quiet summer around the backyard of their house. She's retired and was being very careful and thinks that they got COVID when she went on an errand to get some vitamins and died, very quickly after that, once she got to the hospital and went into distress. There's the case of James Banks, who was a very popular tavern owner in Milwaukee and had mentored young men for years, really, who would come into his establishment. And also Diane Butler. And this is like just a woman who really carried her family on her shoulders and was just there sort of that person in a family who really around which everything seems to circulate. And so talking to these families and my colleagues, Sophie Carson and Irene Chang were just talked to these families, and their contributions were just vital to the story. Because I think in the data we can look at the data and look at it, and it's important to do that. But absent the lives and the intimate stories that families are sharing, they don't have that meaning of what really was lost in this year.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Paul is with us in Whitewater. Paul, hi.
Hello. I'm calling because I've heard that the flu season has virtually been non-existent this year, the standard flu. And, of course, people do die from that. I don't know what the number of flu deaths are in Wisconsin on average, but I suspect that there are rather few this year because of the much reduced numbers of cases. Have you removed the number of flu deaths which did not occur from your statistics, because it should increase the number of people who will die of COVID-19.
Paul, thanks for the call. Oh, go ahead, John. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And we did see that. We saw the flu season come to an abrupt halt when people started staying home and not moving around as much last year. And we've had essentially no flu season to date. In terms of in Wisconsin, the number of flu deaths are fairly negligible compared to COVID deaths. We're talking low triple digits. So in the, between 100 and 120 is what it's run in the last 10 years. But we're talking about now it's single digits. It was below 10 the last time I saw. So it is a factor to consider. It certainly could be. Factored into some of the unexplained deaths or those moved over to other categories. But that was one of the questions that people had is would COVID sort of be borrowing or be miscategorized as the flu deaths? Flu is a killer. It's not as significant a killer as we saw COVID as a cause of death. But Paul, you're exactly right. It completely stopped last year about this time. And then through this season, there's been virtually no flu season.
Thanks for the call, Paul. We're talking to John Diedrich, investigative reporter with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, about their deep dive into a year's worth of COVID-19 data and who it impacted the most. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you remember doing or feeling in those early months when the cases first began here in the state? Do you have questions or concerns about what we've learned over the last year from this data? And did you lose someone close to you? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now we're picking up our conversation with John Diedrich, investigative reporter with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, talking about what we can learn from the state's COVID-19 data from the last year. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions, maybe your experiences over the last year. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. John, I want to dig into something you referenced earlier. We saw early on racial disparities in who was impacted by COVID-19 here in Wisconsin. What do we know a year later?
Well, it's interesting. So when we look at the first sort of round of deaths that happened in Milwaukee County and in the state of Wisconsin, we saw huge disproportionate numbers of particularly African-American residents who were dying. The 21 of the first 25 people in Milwaukee County who died were African-American. And so the question was, would that continue? And it did continue to some degree, not at that level, but through summer. And what's interesting in fall is we started to see those numbers change a little bit. And the reason as we went through, if you look at the data right now, just based on the population in Milwaukee County and in the state, it would appear that there is no health disparity or there's no disparity for African-American, Latino, and so forth. In other words, the deaths are matching the population. The problem with that straight comparison, and it's false, actually, there is a disparity because what you have to do, and we did this for our piece, was you have to adjust for age. And just a side note, the number one factor of why people die or why they have died of COVID-19 in 2020 is age. It outstrips every other factor. 80% of the deaths are people who are 70 and over. So your older populations need to be accounted for in that case. And so when you adjust our racial groups and ethnic groups for age, what happens is that disparity reappears. And it's really important to do that because in Milwaukee County, for instance, we tend to have an older white population. So you would expect more white deaths because age is the indicator of serious illness and death from COVID-19. African-Americans are younger and Latinos are younger yet. And so we factored all that in and the disparity still exists. And it's not as strong as it was early on. But the other factor to consider here is not only do we have a white population that's older in Milwaukee County, but it also lives in nursing homes in a far higher numbers than African-Americans and Latinos, partially because of their age, they get older, and just socioeconomics. And as we know, that has been the single largest site of COVID deaths or residential settings have been nursing homes. And so that would explain why the white population, it took some time, but COVID-19 hit that population well. But again, the disparity when you adjust for age is clear there for the racial and ethnic groups.
Let's bring on another caller at 800-642-1234. Jeff is with us in Superior. Jeff, hi.
Hi, I just tuned in and you may have addressed this. My concern is about the data, the statistics on the Native American reservations within the border of Wisconsin. How were those vaccines distributed? Because those families tend to live, multi-generations in one home. And how were they affected and what do we know about that? Thank you.
Jeff, thanks for the call. In this piece, you didn't get so much into the vaccine distribution, John. And do we have data broken out for Native American groups here in Wisconsin?
We do. And it's a small population relative to the rest of the population, but it's been hit very hard, especially in the fall. And by state data, and again, this is just on per capita. And so it gets even greater when adjusted for age, that Native American people in Wisconsin have been hardest hit as a group. Again, their percentage of deaths is higher than proportionally than their population, and more than Latino, more than African American, and certainly a lot more than white. And that was interesting that we didn't see that early on. And there's just sort of endless theories about why spread happens and what kicked it off, and COVID, sort of pandemic fatigue, and is it masks, how they're being used, gatherings, schools, there's lots of different elements to kind of control for it. But what we could see was that there was a clear increase in fall, and that was one of the areas. And we had some reporting around the vaccine efforts. We've had a whole team at our paper doing that, and there has been a big push now because of that disparate effect on the American Indian population in Wisconsin to get the vaccine delivered. And again, especially because housing situations. And so, it's important to protect the most vulnerable in that, especially when you have different generations who might be at different spots of life.
Thanks for the call, Jeff, at 800-642-1234. We're talking to John Diedrich from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, looking at a year of information now on COVID-19 and what we've learned, who was hit hardest. John, you mentioned that peak in Wisconsin. It was really November. And one of the experts you talked to talked about, you didn't want the peak at all, but better in November than earlier on in the pandemic. We'd learned more about it. We had some treatment techniques that helped. Talk about the fact that was delayed and we had more time to get ready.
Well, that's exactly right. So you think about where the peak really hit New York City, like early on. And at that point, you remember early on, we were thinking about, get people on ventilators. And, and as we went on, we learned that if you could avoid that possibility, you wanted to avoid that because the outcomes were not good. Once somebody was vented for a period of time, their muscles atrophied and they became vent dependent and died. So the survival rates weren't as good. We saw certain drugs that surfaced and it's like had promising, impacts. And then it's like, no, that's not really going to work as well. Other stuff came in that some of it actually like routine drugs that are highly common, like steroids and things of that nature, that turned out to be helpful. And then basic things like, turning patients on their stomachs and abdomens and getting the pressure off that way was another technique. So, the healthcare system for us, sort of a blessing as it came through the country is we had a little bit of time. If you go back, we had sort of a mini surge there in April, May, and then it just kind of was quiet. And then September came. There's a lot of, study that's gone on into what prompted it. Was it school? Was it some combination of school and fatigue and so forth? But it was really clear in the numbers in September, and then we saw the deaths following in October. But again, by that time, we had some indications of what was going to be helpful and what was not. In that front. And so in that way, we may have had the case fatality rate in Wisconsin stands right at about 1%. These are the confirmed cases and then the confirmed deaths. And, you know, that has come down over time. And what the experts I spoke to said is it certainly their view is it certainly would have been higher had we gotten November's surge in, say, April.
Let's bring on one more caller. Scott is with us in Wanakee. Scott, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
What do you want to bring up, Scott?
Early in a pandemic, there were stories going around about how long the virus lived on certain surfaces, metal, plastic, cloth, etc. And some of those stories were conflicting. And, it made it sound like somebody had actually done studies, which seems like easy enough to do and certainly repeatable enough to do. But yet, the question remains now, what is the current understanding and where did those numbers come from back then?
Scott, thanks for the call. I remember studies, John, but I think the finding over time was the surfaces weren't the important thing. It was the airborne transmission.
That's right. And we had this virus and everything around it's probably been studied more than, I don't know, just about anything in recent time for us. And so there was a real demand for sort of instant analysis. And a lot of those studies, some of them have been not these particular studies, but studies on COVID did not go through the normal peer review process. And that made sense because it was like people needed information as quickly as possible. But you're exactly right, Rob, that there was an understanding that airborne was the most important thing to keep in mind. I think there's still a thinking that there could be a transmission depending on where you touch your eyes, nose, ear, that sort of stuff with a surface. But the idea of person to person and airborne is where the greatest risk is right now. And it is interesting. I mean, we still see cleaning going on in surfaces and so forth. But it does seem to have backed off more, and the focus that I see now, you know, is just more on techniques to eliminate the airborne transmission or mitigate it.
Thanks for that call. And John, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us again today.
Thanks. It was my pleasure.
John Diedrich is an investigative reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He was part of the reporting team for a piece that looked at the COVID-19 data and demographics from over the last year. You can find a link to that extensive piece at wpr.org/centraltime.